Obed, ¿cómo está?
Aquí estoy, señor.
Muy bien. Anybody ever been in a storm in this room? Yeah. There may be some in a storm today. You know? Storms come, storms go, then guess what?
They come back.
How many's been in more than one storm in your life? Now, they never get storms in Guatemala. Right? No. Is it true? Is there a volcano down there erupting or something?
All the time.
All the time. And so storms happen all the time. But I want to challenge you to something. Did you know that there are some storms that we can avoid? You know, sometimes we get caught in storms, but sometimes we're in the storms that we could have avoided. Anybody ever been in a storm you know you could have been out of? You didn't get yourself into trouble in the first place, right? I saw my problem again this morning. I'm really getting fed up with my problem. I saw it about 6:30 this morning. I went in the bathroom. There it was, looking right at me again. How many saw your problem this morning? Anybody see your problem? There it was, right? So they were right there again, right there. I can't get rid of this thing. It's always right there. Even when I think I'm doing really well, my problem surfaces. And I really, truly understand that some of our storms we could have avoided had we have done the right thing in the first place. And so today we're going to talk about being a doer. How many remember Romper Room? You guys remember Romper Room?
Yeah.
And I was talking to Sissy. I said, Sissy, did that come from Romper Room? Be a what?
Doobie.
Be a doobie. I got to think that through a minute. Well, that was Romper Room. It was Romper Room. She meant to do things. Right? How many know the right thing to do but don't do it sometimes? How many? Right? And the really fascinating thing here is that, and you know the difference, but you still choose not to do it. And then sometimes you wonder why you're stuck in the situation you're stuck in when you refuse to do what you're supposed to do. Truly, truly, I tell you, if I charged for marriage counseling and just did marriage counseling for the rest of my life, Sissy and I would live in a great big house. Because you know how long marriage counseling takes? Sometimes years. When it could have lasted one session. Really. If people would do what the Lord tells them to do, a lot of the problems would be gone.
Amen.
But they don't. We're told over and over and over and over, but we refuse to do what we're supposed to do. How many finally did what you were supposed to do and your problems got better? True? That's the way it works, right? That's the way that it always works. And so today we're going to be talking about building a foundation. So we're going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. This is called the Wise and Foolish Builders.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Where's my mark? Mark. A person could build a very beautiful house, but if they put it on a really poor foundation, what will happen to the house? It will go down, right? It will go down. Absolutely go down. I was a little bummed out about 10 years ago. Truly, I was bummed out about 10 years ago when Sissy and I built a house, and I was putting a deck on my house. And that's no big deal, I didn't think. And so I'm digging all these post holes. Everybody with me? And you have to go below the frost line, right? Below the frost line. And the frost line where we live is like 42 inches or something like that. 42 inches. And you're digging these big old holes, right? So I'm digging these holes, and Jim is there helping me dig these holes. We're digging these holes to put these posts in, right? So I got all the post holes dug. the poster on, I got the frame around the post. And then the building inspector came calling. Now see, it had been much better for me had he come calling but when I dug the first one. Not after I dug 16 of them and poured the concrete in the holes. And it hardened. And the frame was up. Then the building inspector came calling on me. The chief of police of South Beaver Township lives four doors up. He watched me do this and then called the building inspector on me. The building inspector came down and he said to me, "Do you have a permit?" Now, he knew I didn't have a permit because he's the building inspector. How many know that's true, right? He knew I didn't because he's the guy that gives them out. So he came calling on me, insisted. He said, "Hey, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you got to have a builder's permit to put a deck on your house." Right, Mark? Because it's attached to your house. So he said to me, "Unfortunately, you need to dig the posts up again." I said, "You want me to do what?" He said, "You got to dig the posts up. I got to measure to make sure they are 42 inches below the frost line." Of course, I said, "Well, how about I'll just dig up one?" "That's a good idea, right? I'll dig up one." He said, "Well, that's good. You can start with one, then work your way all the way around to the back, to the back, to the back, until you get down to the last one, because it's got to be 42 inches below the frost line." Now, I was upset about that, because they were, except for one. One was like 38. So I had to dig up underneath that, put some more concrete on, and make it 42. Now, I was a little bit upset about that. How many would have been upset about that, too? Make me dig them all up all over again and dig them things up all over again. And then the other day, I was thinking, because we had a birthday party at our house, and all the grandkids were there, and all of our kids were there, and me and Sissy were there, and we were standing and sitting on the what? On the deck. And I thought to myself, you know what? What if he didn't come along and tell me to dig them up? What if I had done it wrong? What if I only put them 12 inches in the ground because I was in a hurry? What would have happened, Mark? Grandkids, my kids, me and Sissy, the kids she watches, boom, on the ground. And the highest part of that deck's about, I don't know, 16, 15 feet off the ground. Now, I could build the deck, but if I didn't have it on a firm foundation, what happens, Mark? Fall down. So how important is a firm foundation? And there are Christians who try to build their house of faith, but they don't build it on a what? Firm foundation. And I'm truly, truly knowing that the more that I get involved in end-of-life stuff that I work at, I am more convinced than ever that there are people who hear the word, but they do not what? Do the word. Let's look at that passage of Scripture. Let's go back. "Therefore, everyone who hears..." So the first thing we need to talk about is obviously people who have what? Heard. It's not unbelievers. We're not talking about unbelievers. We're talking about men and women who have what? Heard. We're not talking about people who don't go to church. We're not talking about people who aren't in God's Word. We're talking about people who have what? Heard. "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine..." How many's ever heard God's Word? If you've come here, you've heard it. "For anyone who hears these words..." And then what? "Puts them into practice." It's the doer, not the hearer. It's the doer. You cannot hear on Sunday and not do on Monday. It won't work. You cannot hear God's word on a Sunday and be yourself on a Monday. It won't work. So you have, not only do you have to hear the word, but you have to what? Do the word. And you know what? That's the hard stuff. That's the hard stuff. Because the truth of the matter is, even Obed and Kara, even these guys who came a long distance here, it doesn't take a lot of effort to sit where you are sitting. How much effort does it really truly take to come here on a Sunday morning and sit in the pew? Even my Guatemala friends, they came a long distance, but you came from grandma's house last night, right? So we're talking about an hour and a half ride, maybe, right? So they came an hour and a half ride, a little closer than me and Sissy have to travel. And so it doesn't take effort to sit there. And it doesn't, hopefully doesn't take too much effort to listen to me. It might take more than some, but it's not taking that big an effort, is it? And it doesn't take a big effort to get up and walk down those steps and go out into the world. That's not a big deal. The big deal is taking what you learn and leave here and then go and what? Do it. And that makes the difference between hearers and doers. That makes the difference between people who just hear the word and those who do the word. You cannot hear on a Sunday and not do what? On a Monday. And so when we're building our faith and we're building our Christian walk, it says, for those who hear, that's talking about who? You. For those who hear, that's talking about who? You. It's talking about Christians. For those who hear and put the words into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rocks. So many people that I'm involved in end-of-life situations, okay, they say they're Christians. And I believe that they are. I believe that they are. Jimmy, you'll find this out. And then the inevitable reality of mortality strikes, and now you're faced with the realistic realism of knowing, okay, guess what? My turn. And if you have not built your faith on a solid rock, guess what happens to your faith now? When you need it the most. Church, you do not need to have your house built on a firm foundation when the wind is not howling. You don't need to have your house built on a firm foundation when the sun is shining. But you better have it on a firm foundation when the winds of life come beating down on your door. It's amazing truth. Church, it's an amazing truth. People lose their faith when they need it the most. And the reason why is because the wind have blown the house what? Down. Absolutely true. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a what? Any foolish people in this room today? How many foolish people we have sometimes? Thank you. One person, two persons, three. Okay, how many foolish people we have in this room sometimes? Okay, next week's on lying. We all sometimes don't listen, don't we? Church, listen to me. Believers and unbelievers all go through storms. Not an option. Not an option. How many agree with that? Not an option. Believers and unbelievers, not an option. But when we go through our storms, we should be different than those who do not believe. There should be a difference. And what's the difference? We built our life on a firm foundation of God's Word. People say to me, how do you know when you're talking to a Christian? Is it because they carry a Bible? What do you think? I mean, when I studied world religions, I carried a Quran with me. I carried a Book of Mormon with me. Because I had to study those things. Does that make me a Mormon? No. So just because you tote a Bible around doesn't mean you're a Christian. How about you wear a Christian shirt? Does that make you a Christian? Nope. How about you can sing some hymns? Nope. How about when you know some prayers? Nope. You know what makes you a Christian? How you live your life. That's how you'll know. That's how you'll know. When you look at a brother and sister in Christ and you see how they live their life, you'll nail it every single time. It's like the woman that I told you about who was dying at Family Hospice in Canterbury Place. When I went in there, she said, Pastor Tom, could you bring your guitar? Yeah, I did. She said, we're going to sing today, but listen, when we pray, I don't want you to pray for a healing for me because I know my healing's not coming. Now, you may be saying to yourself, what are you talking about? When she was 90 years old, she had cancer all through her body, and she said, I know my time has come. So, you listen, I want to pray, but I want to pray that God gives me strength to keep my arms raised in praise. That is a woman that built her house what? Firm foundation. On a firm foundation. Let's go to John 16:33.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
In this world, who's the you?
Us.
Who's Jesus talking to? Us. Is he talking to the unbelievers? No. He's talking to to you. He's talking to the Bible-thumping, card-carrying, scripture-toting, Bible-quoting, born-again Jesus freaks like you. He's talking to you. He says, listen, you are going to have what? Trouble. The winds of time and life is going to come to you. The storm of depression, the storm of anxiety, the storm of broken relationship, the storm of financial concerns, the storms of worry, they are coming to your house. You cannot avoid it. Is that true? They're coming. They're coming. And the question is, are you going to stand when they come, or will you succumb to the wind? You get to decide that. You get to choose that. The word and instruction manual has already been written. How many of you try to put things together without reading instructions? I see it's mostly men. You see it's mostly men here, right? We have one girl. Well, how many? Mostly men are going, oh yeah, who needs them instructions? Who needs the instructions? Well, Sissy bought me a pull saw from a B-Day. And we cut down two big pine trees on our property yesterday. I got two more to go. Big old pine trees, huh, Sissy? And I got this neat old tall, oh man, it's like, whoo, it's got an extension pole, you know, pole saw, right? It goes like 14 feet. Oh, yeah. And I'm not talking about kind of goes like this. I'm talking kind of goes, oh man, it was like, zip, 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 zip. I'm having a grand old time. But it says, it has a new chain on it, so you have to tighten the chain every so often because the chain is going to stretch. How many guys are with me? And I'm looking pretty clear at it. There's a little set screw there. They give you a little tool for that. So all you got to do is like turn it and tighten the chain. I'm smart. I got a degree. I know how to do this, right? So boom, 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 boom. And now the little chain's kind of bagging a little bit. I'm going, oh, it must mean to tighten it. Oh, I know how to do that. So I went down there and I'm tightening the screw. And I'm tightening the screw. And I'm going, boom. And the chain fell off. I'm going, what the heck? So I put the chain back on. I'm tightening the screw. Chain fell off. I'm going, what the heck? I know that screw's for. I know the screw's for. Now, how many times that chain fall off, Sissy, right? I mean, this is frustrating me. I'm going to get the handsaw. This thing is killing me. So I'm tightening the screw, tightening the screw, tightening the screw. So I said, I'm doing something wrong. So I look at the instructions. It says, remove cover before turning the screw. Had I read the instructions the first time, I would have known before you turn the screw, you take the cover off. Because the cover is locking the chain in place. I could have saved an hour if I read the stupid instructions. How many of you do not read the instructions in life either? Well, see, you could have saved yourself not an hour worth of time. You could have saved yourself not 2 hours worth of time. You might have saved yourself a lifetime full of trouble if you read what? The instructions. And the problem with it is this. I have the opportunity to, you know, mess around with Mark sometimes. He's here around the church. I thank God for Mark and his talented skills that he has, right? And Mark comes and he, sometimes I get to play with the nail gun, you know, boom, 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 you know, stuff like that. And Mark's going around, pop, 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 pop. Hey, Pastor Tom, you want to try it? Yeah. Pop, oh, went in crooked. Pop, oh, you didn't push your heart enough. But he don't read the instructions anymore. Why not? Because he's skilled at what he does. However, I did see him come in with a big old bandage around his finger. Didn't I? Big old, it wasn't like a Snoopy bandage. It was like a big old bandage. I said, what did you do to your finger? He said, careless. Did you know the ones who get hurt are the ones that are skilled? Because they're no longer what? Paying attention. Is that true? I know a guy where I work, a carpenter like Mark, lost his fingers with a chop saw. Because he drew a bunch of lines on the board, you know, zip, zip, zip. Not what? Paying attention. So even though you're skilled in the word, if you're not paying attention, guess what can happen to you? All of you experts in God's word who no longer read the instructions. Let's go to Romans 10:17.
Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ.
All right. I know for positively sure that for you, those of you that are awake today, and I'm scanning right now, I'll see if anybody's not awake. Wake Sonny up. Wake up. Okay. For those of you that are paying attention, you are hearing the word. But if you're only going to listen to the word for 45 minutes on a Sunday, how good are you going to get at it? You don't get it. Maybe you might retain some. Where's my principal? Principal, if a person hears stuff for 45 minutes, how much of it do they retain? You think all of it? No way, right? No way. I forget how many times a person has to hear something to retain it, but it's more than once, right? Four times. Okay, that she's a principal. She knows what she's talking about. You got to hear it four times before it sinks in. You only hear it one time for 45 minutes on a Sunday, what happens? It's gone. So I wonder, truly wonder, how many of us today spend, and I'm being honest now, I know you're all going to say, oh, Pastor Tom, I'm a Bible scholar. Well, you know I do. But when you ask that question, I think I already know the question. My hand's popping up halfway before you've been asking. Because I'm in the Word every day. Man, I come home from work and the Bible's still out, still warm from when I touched it before I left. I wonder, really, truly wonder, how many of us really, truly spend an hour every day in God's Word open on your lap. I really wonder how many of us do. Jesse, I know you do, Jesse. I see your notes. Every day, an hour every day. You think we do that as Christians? You know we don't. You know we don't. Well, then how can we get skilled? How can we become craftsmen in God's Word? How can we build a firm foundation when we're not even in the resources to build it? We're not. We're not. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to James 2:20.
But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead.
Faith without work is what?
Dead.
Dead. You know, there's been some moments in my ministry career that really have moved me profoundly. And I really thought, this, the one I always tell you about is that one with that guy down the Light of Life homeless shelter. Boy, he came to me that day. For those of you who never heard this story, I was at the homeless shelter. And he said to me, Pastor Tom, will you pray for me? And I said, surely I'll pray for you. What do you want me to pray for? And I still can see the guy in my eye. I can see him. I want you to pray for me that I don't get cancer. And I said to him, pray for you don't get cancer. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? No. Well, have you have cancer in your family? No. Did you work with asbestos? No. Okay, well, I'll pray. I'll pray for you don't get cancer, but help me understand so I know how to pray. He said, well, I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day, and I want you to pray for me that I don't get cancer. Now, let's talk about this for just a minute. Now, did he have faith that God could stop him from getting cancer?
Yeah.
Yes. Or why would he ask me to pray?
Right?
He has faith, or he would not have asked me to pray in the first time. Pastor Tom, I have faith that God will prevent me from having cancer if you pray for me. He had faith. He had faith, but he didn't have the what? He didn't have the do. He had the faith. Faith without work is what? He had the faith. He believed in God. He believed that I could pray. He believed that God would heal him or protect him from cancer. But he didn't have the doing part. What was the doing part? Quit smoking. That was the doing part. And so I said to him, hey, look, we don't do that. We're not putting the Lord God to the test. Why don't you just quit smoking? He said, no, you don't understand. That's why I need you to pray for me so that I can continue to do this and the Lord will protect me. I said to him, no. No, that's not how we're doing this. I will pray for you that you can be released from the addiction of nicotine. He said to me, and you call yourself a pastor. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I have an ending to the story. I found out about him. Guess what? He died. Guess what he died from? Lung cancer. He had the faith. He didn't have the what? He didn't have the do part. And I wonder how many of us, we have the faith part, we don't have the doing part. How many admit to that today? You have the faith part, you don't have the doing part. Well, you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't do something, what will happen? The amazing thing about it, when the storms of life come that way, guess who people blame? Yeah, that guy who died of lung cancer that I found out about, guess who's probably blaming? More than God, who else?
You.
Me. Me. If I'd have prayed over him and there were not Christmas time down Light Life Homeless Shelter, he would not have died. Oh, really? See, everybody gets to blame except who? You. It's everybody else's fault. It's everybody else's fault. No, it's not. Sometimes it's our fault. Let's go to 1 John 1:7.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin.
All right. We'll talk about two kinds of storms. Storms that you can avoid, and some storms that you can't. The first kind of storm, storms that you can avoid. Let's talk about a guy named Jonah. Talk about that guy named Jonah. Now, Jonah was in a pretty big storm situation, wasn't he? Now, about a month ago, Sissy and I had the pleasure of going fishing on a pontoon boat, and I caught an unbelievable smallmouth bass. Huh, Sissy? It was about like that big. Well, if I, my arms were a little tall, it could be bigger, but my arms weren't that long. It was huge. It was like Jonah's fish. It was that big. Well, okay, it was like... Right, Sissy?
Right there.
Right there?
Right there.
Well, and I, you know, had it by thumb. Is that you put your thumb in the mouth of this, right? Put the thumb in the mouth, right? Had this thing up. You just got a picture. You want to see how big this thing was, a monster-sized fish. And I'm looking at this little guy. He stunk. Fish stink.
Yeah.
Huh, Mark? They stink. And when you put the fish back in the water, your hands stink for like for a week. How many understand what I'm talking about? You ever clean the fish? Sissy, I love salmon. Sissy makes me salmon. She hates it. She don't hate to make it for me. She hates if you come to my house a month later, you know I had it. Because she cooked the salmon. Ooh. Could you imagine being in the belly of one of them puppies? In the bottom of the ocean? I mean, there's not enough perfume to make you smell good, right? Now, why was Jonah in the belly of the fish? Who said that? What was it?
Disobedience.
Did God zap him because he didn't like him? Did God make that happen because God wanted to get him? No. He was in the belly of the fish because he was what? Disobedient. How many of you are disobedient sometimes? All you kids, look at all the grown-ups raising their hands, okay? We're disobedient. We are disobedient. And Jonah could have avoided the whole fish tail if he just would have said what? Yes. He could have avoided the whole thing if he just said what? Yes. And I wonder, truly wonder, how many of us in this room could have avoided some storms in our life by just simply saying what?
Yes.
But we say what?
No.
We say no. Now, did Jonah hear the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Did Jonah know the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Was Jonah given specific instructions?
Yes.
But he said what?
No.
And so guess what happened?
He paid the price.
Somebody raise up God's instruction manual. If you have a God's instruction manual, raise it for me. Okay, there's some instruction manuals right here in this room, right? If you don't have an instruction manual, you see somebody have their hand raised, that's the instruction manual. Read the instructions. And then what? Let's go back to my little pole saw story. That's a nice tool. Man, until I was up in the tree. When I was up in the tree with the pole saw, cutting down the limbs around the wires, because the tree was growing up between the wires. Kind of get the idea, right? And I'm thinking, I'm gonna fall that tree. I'm gonna put that tree exactly where I want. I'm pretty good at that, right, Sissy? I can put that tree where I want it to go. But I'm thinking, man, if it pulls down them wires, some people are gonna be unhappy with me. They're gonna be really unhappy for me, right? And I started looking at the wires, and I went, yeah, but you know what? That's cable TV wires. That's what that is. Because the high tension wires are way up top, right? And I'm looking at things. I'm going, well, you know what? That's cable TV. I'm not going to get hurt by them. And I got satellite anyhow, so what's the big deal? Right, Sissy?
That might be why you got stung in your neck.
Well, maybe, yeah. So I'm up in the tree, right? No, I'll tell you that story. I'm up in the tree. I'm serious. I'm up on my ladder. And I got this 14-foot pole saw, right? And I'm up about 20 feet or so on this ladder. And I'm going, oh, this is not a good day. Because the saw, I have no leg on it. And the saw is heavy when you have it 14-foot, right? And the saw is pulling me off the ladder. And I'm going, this is not working. This is not working. So now I'm up on the ladder. I got the pole saw. And the kids behind me said, Pastor Tom, that limb you just cut down has a hornet's nest in it. Right? And Micah is saying, back away, back away. And there's a hornet's nest laying on the ground that I just whacked with the saw. And here they come. Right? Here they come. And I'm up on the ladder. I'm 20 feet. I got the pole saw. I'm cutting this limb down. I'm looking out of the corner of my eye. I go, this is not going to be good. And boom. He tried to kill me because he bit my jugular vein. He stung me right. It was like a vampire. This vampire hornet with the white head stung me right in my jugular vein. I went, ugh. But I was brave. I didn't throw my new saw. I didn't jump off the 20-foot ladder. I know what happens when you do that. So I went, oh, he bit me. I still whacked it off. I come down. I said, Sissy, I think he bit me. Sissy said, oh, yeah, he bit you right in your vein because you got this big old red thing. But here's the point. I'm trying to tighten my chain. I know where the screw is, so I turn and it's not tightening it. So I read the instructions. It says, take the cover off. Tighten the screw, put the cover back. What if I read that and said, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of my time. I'm just going to go down there and turn that screw. How long could I have turned that screw, Mark? Forever. Now, I knew what to do. I read what to do. I heard what to do. But if I didn't, what? Do it. What happens to me? I know you people. You're my church. I know most of you very well. Sis and I have known. Hey, Juanita, how you doing? You want me to show you? Hey, Juanita. Sissy and I have known a lot of you for a long time. And a lot of you in this room are without excuse. You are so without excuse. The only excuse you have is I just don't do it. How many know what I'm talking about? It's not because you don't know. Not because you don't know. There's a lot of you in this room could teach it. It's not because you don't know it. It's not because you can't recite it or you can't live it back. And none of that. There's none of that. And we know you well in this room. It's a small church. We know a lot of you very well. And when the storms come, it's not because you don't know what to do. It's because what? You just don't do it. You don't need to call me and Sissy. You don't need to call us and say, what's wrong? No, you know what's wrong. What do you got to do? Just do it. Just do it. How many agree with that? Just do it. You know, sometimes people want to call us on the phone. They want, you know, affirmation. No, I know your life is messed up. You don't need, yeah, you're right. No, just do it. Just do it. All right, let's go to Isaiah 4:6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you for being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not because you didn't know it. It's important, church, that you follow this. It's not because you don't know it. It's because you what? Rejected it. It's because you took God's word and you said, that's not what that says. That's not what that means. That's not what that states. I'm so much smarter. I'm so much smarter. Well, you know what? I'm really glad that I'm a simple-minded person. And you might say, Pastor, I thought you were simple. No, I really truly am. I'm so simple. If God says that I believe it, what's your next question? I don't need to try to figure out a way it says something that doesn't say. How many understand what I'm saying to you? I don't got to figure out some cute kind of way and say, well, that was written thousands of years ago. Doesn't pertain to me today. I'm kind of simple-minded that way. I figure, you know what? He read it. He wrote it. He gave it to me. He's smart enough to figure it out that when I was going to read it in 2016, God's smart enough to figure it out that he had to keep it simple for the simple-minded man. He read it, he wrote it, he did it. I think he's smart enough to kind of figure it out. We would be sitting here today trying to unravel it. How many say, that's true? If you don't think he didn't know what you would be saying, you are wrong.
Amen.
He knew you'd be here. And he knew to keep it in such a way that even we simple... How many are simple-minded in this room too? He made it simple. What he wanted us to know, he made it what? Plain. Plain as day. Let's go to James 1, 22 to 25.
Do you merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves? Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
So storms that you can't avoid. The Apostle Paul was in a storm. I think I told this to you a couple weeks ago. He was in a storm because he had no choice. He was handcuffed. He told the captain of the boat, don't go. Don't sail because there's a big old storm coming up here. Don't go. And they decided to go. And Paul went too. Why? He had no choice. He was handcuffed. Did you know that sometimes you're in a storm not because you're not doing what is right? You're not in a storm because what you're doing is wrong. You're in the storm because those who which you have a relationship with are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. So guess what happens to you? You're in the storm because you're handcuffed. There's no way to go. You can be married, for example, to an unbelieving spouse. You're married to an unbelieving spouse, guess what? You're going to have some storms. Not because what you're doing is wrong, but because of the relationship you're in, the person is doing wrong. How many understand what I just told you? You can be in a family like that. You're married into a family where you know what you're supposed to be doing, but yet you're handcuffed in the relationship. And when others in the relationship in the family are going off and doing what they're not supposed to be doing, you're stuck in the storm too because you're involved in the relationship. How many understand what I just told you? You have friends like that. You have family like that. You have work employees like that. You have a business where you work. Same thing. You're in because you're handcuffed. You have no other way to go. You're stuck. There you are. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but guess what? The storm is raging where? All around you. And you're in it. You're in it because there's no choice. You're like Paul, handcuffed. You got to go. You got to go. So what do? Well, one thing's for sure, don't jump the ship when the storm's coming. What happens when you jump out of the ship when the storm's raging? Best thing to do, hang on, right? But there's another storm that you could avoid. And I'm going to close with this. It's this one. So many people look in God's mirror. Is somebody hold up God's mirror? Hold up God's mirror. You know what it is? It's His Word. Can I see your mirror? Here's the mirror. Right? And so Scripture says, I want to look in the mirror and see my reflection. I want to look in the mirror and I want to see what it talks about me in my life. Right? So I'm looking at the mirror and I go, Yeah, let's tear that page out. I don't like that page at all. Or you look in the mirror, and the mirror's looking back at you, right? And the mirror says, you need to do this, you need to do that, don't do this, don't do that, make sure you do this, make sure that you go, yeah. How many's ever taken abnormal psychology? Anybody ever taken abnormal psychology? Okay, I took it in school. Abnormal psychology. They give you a textbook. It's called Abnormal Psychology. Anybody ever took a book like that? All right, let's be truthful. How many? Come and see. Who did it? Okay, you read the book, right, and you go, oh my gosh, I know that person. Come on, how many's at least done it one time? Right? You're going, here's voices, many different, oh my God, I know that person. You've done it, right? And you go like to the next condition, you go, oh my gosh, I know two people like that. And then you go to the third page, you go, oh my God, it's me. Come on, how many's ever done it? You know you've done it, right? You know you've done it, right? Well, sometimes when you open up God's mirror and you go, yeah, talking about me, yeah, love your enemies, I have a hard time with that sometimes. Oh, so I don't want to be reminded of that. So guess what I might do and not do anymore? I'm looking in the mirror no more. No way, I'm not looking in the mirror. It's kind of like, in a simplistic kind of way, physicality, we look in the mirror at our statures, and we look very healthy, most of us, right? We look in the mirror and we go, yeah. A scale's another nice friend, too. How many have a scale at home, right? You know, I like the one that has the numbers you can turn. How many has that scale you can turn the wheel, make, you know, in case it's not calibrated, right? How many have a scale like that? I don't like the digital ones. The ones you turn is cool because you can start at -5. The room can't be level. There's no way this room can be level because if I put it there, I weigh more. If I put it over there, I weigh less. So I put it over here. I calibrate that thing, right? Hey, look, I'm 5 pounds lighter. And the truth of the matter is we look in the mirror, we see what we see, we don't like it. So we either go get a different mirror, change the lighting, do something, but by all means don't do what? Change you. I don't like what that scale says. Give me a different scale. Put it in a different corner of the room. Or I won't weigh myself at all. It just makes me depressed. But we will not do what? Change what? Ourselves. God's word is like that. It's a mirror. He says, you want to stay out of the storms? Do something about it. You want a different kind of life? Do something about it. Don't whine about it, moan about it, and blame everybody else. So you want a firm foundation? Where are you going to find it? God's word. You want to build a house called life? Where when the storms come, you won't be shaken? Build your foundation firm. I want that kind of life where no matter what happens, I won't be shaken. Sis and I are pretty firm about that. Regardless of what happens, we're not going to be shaken. And the truth of the matter is, guys, it's like the story of the three little pigs. The foolish pig built his house out of what? Straw. And then the not-so-smart pig built his house what? And both of their houses got blown away. The smart piggy built his house out of bricks. And where did the other two pigs find refuge? Isn't that true? It's the way life is. It's the way life is. You build your life without a foundation. When your house breaks down, guess where you go? To the one whose house is what? Do you live in a house of life where it's about to be blown over? Or do you live in a house of life that's built on a strong foundation where others can find refuge from the storm? You decide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hearing of these words today, Lord. Help us to be doers, not just hearers. Help us to put into practice what your word says, not just hear it. It's not the hearers, it's the doers that will be blessed. Help us to be doers. And all of God's children said, amen. Next week we'll be talking about blessings and curses. Blessings and curses.